cliffcentral.com. It's time for Collectomania, everybody. This is brought to you by the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. And of course, every week we manage to get someone fantastic with an unbelievable collection. This week is no different. We're going to speak to Wayne Berger in a moment or two. Wayne is someone we've worked with at Cliff Central for years, since the beginning. In fact, Wayne was the one who managed to... Wayne, you're responsible for the name cliffcentral.com. You don't even know that, do you?
No, I do know that. Okay. We shared the options we had available to you.
That's right. You gave us the URL. You said, listen, this is what I can get you guys. These are the URLs that are available. And one of them was cliffcentral.com. So when people go, oh, that Gareth's so full of himself, Cliff Central, it's all about him. He's the central thing. It actually wasn't me. It was you, Wayne. I'm going to send them your way, right?
Yeah, send them my way. I'll chat to them.
It's nice to see you, man. How are you?
You too. Yeah, thank God. All good. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic, dude. It's really, really nice to have you on the show this morning. And we're going to talk about your collection in a minute, but I'm just going to let everybody know what you actually do and how you've been working with us. You are a technology entrepreneur, and you and your business partner have been involved with helping us from a website point of view from the get-go. You've also given us plenty of really wise and sage advice along the way. So if anybody wants to know about your company, just tell us about that so that we can give you a bit of a plug at the same time.
Sure. Well, the company that works with Cliff Central is Arshak Digital Consultancy. We work more like a wholesale consultancy to digital players. You know, generally our clients are strong in the digital sphere, but in a specific realm, and we do more technical work. So for instance, like technical app development, our CTO, he's got a master's in AI, which is artificial intelligence.
Phenomenal.
We also do the more technical online marketing. So search engine optimization. We do like AdWords, these sort of things. But
yes.
Yeah, we work as a, let's say, digital transformation company with our consultancy. And yeah, we've been going for quite a while now and had some really good results. And obviously very proud of our work with Cliff Central. And yeah, proud of you guys for growing this iconic online community.
Well, Wayne, it's nice to have you on for a totally different reason this morning. But I just got to say again, we've also loved working with you, but the nicest thing about what you do is that you're one of those people who just, you start new businesses all the time, and you've got a range of different businesses that you've been involved in, not just iShack. Tell us about your collecting. Where did that start, and how did it all become, like, there's so many of us who have these passions, and everyone I meet now has some kind of collection. It might be bottle caps. It might be, you know, expensive paintings. It might be teacups. We had one guy on who collects statues of liberty. So there are all kinds of weird things. How did yours start?
Yeah, so first of all, you know, people can collect weird and wonderful things. On my side, I was always a big fan of sport memorabilia. When I was growing up, I was, you know, very, very impressed with just collectibles and generally around sport. My favorite sport was soccer or football, and very much used to be in awe of some of the memorabilia that I would see. So what happened with me is that in my honors year, I did an investment honors, and one of our courses was contemporary investments, and I was actually with a good friend of mine. We were on the way to gym, and I was complaining to him. I was saying, look, I got this contemporary investment course I got to do. I got to do a sort of project / thesis on it. I don't know what. I don't like coins. I don't like art. And I was really sulking. And he said to me, well, why don't you do it on sport memorabilia? So I did a little bit of research, and the variables of sport memorabilia was very much similar to, well, the same as art and other contemporary investments. And so I started to do a little bit of research back then for my honors year. And I was I still am, unfortunately, an Everton fan. And at the time there was Wayne Rooney was this teenager at Everton that just played for England. And I had a contact where I could get a shirt. So I I told my parents that this is, I'm going to buy my birthday present here. I'm getting a Wayne Rooney signed Everton and England shirt. And I ended up sourcing it. And there's a group called MSC Sports, and they were looking for some stock. And I ended up actually selling it to them and started to sort of source items from there.
Okay,
and
so you went from pretty quickly, and I mean, this again shows that you're a lot smarter than some of us. You went quite fast from being a collector to also being someone who traded in this stuff.
Well, what really happened is at that time I was finishing my honors and it wasn't a good time to be a white male with very average marks. And I was trying to work out, you know, what I could do next sort of thing. So I sent out my CV to a lot of places and I got rejected everywhere. Didn't really get any.
So it was survival more than, you know, trying to see an opportunity. It was survival, right?
Yeah, well, that's it. Well, first it started off from interest and necessity because I had to do, you know, something for this course. And then what happened, I played quite a lot of soccer and I was part of a team that was meant to go to Chile.
Oh, wow.
For this tournament. And we had to do some fundraising at the time. So I said that a few of my teammates weren't happy with the providers around and they had seen sort of the stuff that I could get and had access to.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to them, don't worry, I'll source all the items. So I took all my bar mitzvah money and I went and sourced all these nice collectibles. Really, at that time, they weren't, you know, it's sort of after this period, it got flooded at like charity auctions, etc. But at that time, it was very unique stuff that I was able to get.
So I just want to interrupt you for a second, because I think this is something a lot of South Africans can relate to. You know, sports memorabilia is probably one of the best collectible areas in South Africa, because I've been into many people's houses, and I'm sure you have too, Wayne, and you, Leanne, where you see at the, you know, most guys, even if their wife is extraordinarily forgiving and understanding, most guys in South Africa have one corner of the house where they have either a bar or they have their little bit of sports memorabilia up on the wall, and they've always got like a rugby jersey or a picture of the 95 World Cup where every player's signed there or something like that. I mean, I've seen it in everybody's house with very few exceptions. So this is the stuff that you're talking about now. When you managed to source this is before it became very mainstream, but this stuff still fetches good prices. And I know I've been to a number of these charity auctions, you know, after a golf game, for example, or when you go to some fancy dinner, someone is auctioning off some piece of sports memorabilia inevitably. And usually that's the thing that goes for a huge amount of money. That's what people really want. They want to say, oh, I've got that shirt that, you know, this is the original rugby jersey that Chester Williams was wearing when he kicked this conversion, or you've got this piece of, here's a thread from Francois Pienaar's, you know, rugby jersey or whatever. Yeah. Everybody has one of these, right?
Correct. Yeah, so it's very popular, and especially when it's like topical, if it's the Rugby World Cup and there's a signed jersey or South Africa's just won the World Cup, etc. At that time, the South African memorabilia was available. There were certain companies supplying it, but there wasn't as much international stuff. So for this particular tour, I went and I took my Barmy money. I got a whole bunch of really nice and collectible stuff. And I went, and my issue back then was people used to get these jerseys and then frame them very cheaply and then want to sell it at auction for this very expensive price. So for me, I thought, you take an apple, you shine it. I went, I sourced pictures from Getty Images, and we have a friend who's a writer, or was a writer, he's now a lawyer, but then he would write these nice articles on all the different pieces, and we'll put it on like, let's say, silver gold plates, and made them look really good. The problem was our tour got cancelled, and I had put everything into these shirts, and one morning I'd wake up and look at all these items and think, wow, this is so cool, and the next morning I'd wake up and feel sick. I thought, oh, I've taken everything I have and, you know, put it into these shirts. And but where I was lucky, the soccer club, Beaufort Soccer Club, they needed to do a fundraiser. This was a club that I used to play for. The year after, they saw the items, loved them, put them up. They all sold for like record amounts. And I sort of, while I was still searching for a job, through that event, I was able to get into another fundraiser in Cape Town, and that went really well. And at that point in time, look, that was the best option I had available. So sort of.
So what do we know about the market? I mean, you've had this experience, but this was a long time ago. Is South Africa still a really fertile market for sports memorabilia? Because as I said, a lot of people seem to have this stuff up in their houses, but does it really have the demand, and is there a supply that justifies it being maybe one of the biggest collectibles in the country?
Well, the thing about, first of all, especially online, 85% of what you find online is fake.
85%?
85% of what you'll find online is fake. And we'll think about it. Look, first of all, there's different levels of, let's say, memorabilia or collectibles. You can get a signed item, and then you can get worn items. Worn, it goes on supply and demand. You know, a worn jersey, especially an old worn jersey, there will be a supply of one. If it's more recent, then there's generally two per game.
Right.
But if it's just a signed signature, there's a whole bunch of ways to fake signatures. And that's actually something that I studied during my course, was just the different signatures. At that time, David Beckham was very popular. He was at Real Madrid. I focused actually on his signatures. And there's all different ways you can get a signature from let's say, a celebrity. And if it's in a signing session, you'd get a very nice signature. If it's like you see them at an airport, it should be a bit of a rough signature. And
Can you tell which ones are fake and which ones are not fake?
Well, first of all, you can't, if you're not there, you can't exactly tell for sure. But what I can tell you is that there's a good chance that this would be fake, or there's a good chance that this is real. Actually, when it comes to signatures, you have like pressure points when somebody's signing something. So even if the actual signature doesn't really look like his normal signature, but if the pressure points in the same space, that would generally be considered a genuine signature. But you can see certain things where I say, no, that's definitely fake. And just something to put out there is, if you are interested in collectibles, or if you are interested, let's say, in signed sport memorabilia, you want to buy from a reputable firm. You ideally want to know when the signing session was. You know,
right.
Usually
people have a picture there as well of where it was actually signed, and they're in it, so you can prove that they were there at the time, right?
Well, this is it. You can get that sort of providence, but generally. It doesn't, you know, playing open cards, it doesn't actually matter if it's real or not in one respect. It actually only matters if the provenance or the proofs of this particular item are really strong. Because if it comes from a reputable source and everything is documented, they know when the signing session was, et cetera, or if it's like an official autograph supplier, then that will generally go much further than you getting it signed at the airport or buying it from someone who said they saw Cristiano Ronaldo at the airport and he quickly signed something.
Wayne, I just want to move on to some of the actual stuff in the collection, and some of this you may still have, some of it you may have moved on from. But what is this number 11? This is Brazil, right? What is that? What's going on?
Yeah, that's Brazil. So in 1994 World Cup, I was crazy about, well, Brazil and especially Romario. He's still probably my favorite soccer player today. And so this is an item I wouldn't want to sell. I still have it. It's just over there.
Nice.
In our passage. And this was a worn jersey. These are my most collectible items. So just for interest sake, if they are worn, then that's very collectible because there's only a few. There's one or two per game. And this was in a warm-up game for the 1994 World Cup. Brazil won 8-2 and Romario scored a hat-trick. So
that's
actually
wild.
Signed in two spaces. Yeah, I mean, it's once again, if I was a little kid watching the World Cup and I saw this in my passage, I would say I made it. So
absolutely,
that's one that I'm very happy with.
Yeah. Right, here's my favorite team. This is Argentina. It looks like that is a 1986.
So that's actually 1979. Oh, wow. Okay. It was worn by Maradona versus Bolivia. And yeah, it's
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's quite a.
I mean, if you never wash a worn thing, right? But if you did Maradona's, you could probably get like 8 grams of cocaine out of that. If you washed it, you know.
You wouldn't need to use washing powder. It already comes with powder.
Yeah.
If I just break that down and sold it, you know, in the little particles that come off, I'd get a good return. So it's quite a safe bet, that one.
All right. What about this? This is a rugby ball. Signed by who?
Yeah, so that's a rugby ball signed by Pinar, Stransky and Mandela.
Wow, look at that.
94 World Cup. And the problem with this particular ball, unfortunately, and let's say if anyone is going around trying to get signatures, you know, on the ground, is that this actual ball is like evaporating. It's so old that it's like breaking into pieces. It's a little bit sad. It's quite a nice historic ball, but the actual quality of this Gilbert ball is literally breaking. So,
God, that's terrible. So, and there's nothing you can do once that has faded and fallen apart. Then, you know, the collectability of it has diminished so far that no one will buy it, right?
Well, it loses definitely. Look, you know, different people are interested in different things and they may want it, even if it is, you know, going south per se.
Sure.
But if you are a collector and you do have something signed with whatever pen, try keep it out of sunlight, because besides for that ball, you know, depreciating as it is, the signatures can also fade if they're in the sun.
Does that apply this is a boxing glove. Is that Mike Tyson?
That's Mark Tyson, yes.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
So this one I sold a little while ago, also from a signing session. This is just a signed item, not a used item. But I used to either source for specific charities to help them raise funds. Amazing. Or used to source for specific collectors that would want to, let's say, decorate a TV room or bar, etc.
So now, this is a lot more interesting. This is a lot more interesting to me than the Mike Tyson glove. This is a poster of some beautiful woman, and it's what is this all about? And it's not signed or anything. Is this a piece of memorabilia?
Yeah, well, for me, if you pull it up on the screen, what happened there? So for me, what are really collectibles? They're memories, really. Mm-hmm. So World Cup Rugby 95, where were you when we won the World Cup, etc., the feeling, you know, where this particular piece of memorabilia, it's memorabilia for me, it's priceless. We were in Brazil around 2003, I think 2003, and we were traveling or backpacking, and we were between two places, Salvador and a place called Arroio do Jura. We were catching a bus, and the bus was coming whenever. We never knew when. And we ended up with a few friends of ours that I was traveling with. We ended up finishing all the beers at this bus station. Then we played some soccer with some Brazilians at the bus station. And while we were there, this was the poster on the wall. Selling beers. I found it quite unique in Brazil. At that time, you know, a lady in a bikini holding a beer, and that's how they sold their produce.
Now, that's very sexy. So you've got that up on your wall to remind you of the actual World Cup that you went to. What's this over here, Wayne? What's going on here? This is someone swimming in – where is this? In the Arctic? Antarctic?
So that's in Norway. I'm sure you would know Lewis Gordon Pugh.
Of course.
So that's old Lewis. Funny enough, years ago I sold and I helped the Organ Donor Foundation raise funds, and we put up a Muhammad Ali glove. And Lewis at that time was running the Organ Donor Foundation. And after we had this really good auction, I was sitting in his office and he's telling me a story. And he says, you know, I do this cold swimming, and he starts to tell me what he does. And I thought, you know what, I've never heard more rubbish in my life. And then he said to me, well, you want to see a documentary? I was like, sure, go for it, whatever. Let's see what you got. And he He then went on to show me this BBC documentary on him swimming through Norway. And
you didn't know any of this when you were speaking to him? You had no idea?
Absolutely not. I thought he was talking. I thought this is the biggest load of rubbish I've ever heard. And after the documentary, my jaw had already dropped. And we started chatting after that. And he wanted to give the King and Queen of Norway, like his, let's say, memorabilia. So he had two different kits that he wore on this particular world record swim.
Mm-hmm.
So the one I packaged all together. And then this kit, which had his cap, his goggles, and then his costume, I sold the others, or I put the others up for a charity to raise funds, and I kept this one, which sits in my.
But I mean, you've met, so you talk casually about being in Lewis Gordon Pugh's office, but here's you with Pele. Now that's got to be, that's a memory for lifetime. I mean, that this is probably the world's. Certainly in the top three of the world's most legendary football players of all time. And you're in a picture with him. And I assume you've still got that shirt that he's holding there with you.
Yeah, so in 2006, Pele came through to Johannesburg. And I ended up helping the organizers with their signing sessions. And it was quite a... It was a very cool experience. I was actually very impressed with Pele. He had a lot of time for everybody. He also took a lot of time signing the different items. His signature is one of the most, I think him and Ali were the two most forged signatures at the time. And probably still today, it's quite a basic signature. And so we hosted the signing session. And when I took this picture with him, he was like shocked with this jersey because he says, how did I get it? It's actually a 1970 worn jersey by Pele. And why this is significant is that if you see above the badge, there's three stars, and each time a soccer team wins the World Cup, they get to put a star above the badge.
Right.
So this was the first jersey that he wore with three stars. Why this match happened, it was a match between Mexico and Brazil at the Maracana, was because Brazil beat Italy in the World Cup final in Mexico, and the Mexicans all supported Brazil. And to commemorate that match and the support they got from the Mexicans, they had this game at the Maracana. So this was the first jersey that Pele wore with three stars. So that's the sort of thing that gives these sort of collectibles
that's so special.
You know, value.
That's
yeah,
so
it's
cool.
Just the romance around
that's
the story.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Now, what's this Sandy? This is a baseball card. We don't get a lot of these in South Africa.
Yeah, so it's quite, when I was young, I actually liked baseball and baseball cards, and I used to collect a few. And one day I got kicked out of class at school, and I went with a friend into this like old shed at the school, and in like the corner hidden away, we found a old baseball cards. It must have been confiscated by a kid at some time, but this is from 1966. It's quite crazy. And so I sort of kept them, you know, with baseball cards, you need to keep them in great condition. These weren't in the greatest condition, so I've just sort of kept it away in these sort of like, what do you call them, like plastic sleeves. And Sandy Koufax specifically was a well-known guy, pitcher, and still well-known today.
Have you had this valued, Wayne?
I've sort of looked online, and that there are more better structures when it comes to baseball cards and values.
I've heard
a few thousand rand.
I've heard stories about these baseball cards. Some of them can fetch you like tens of thousands of dollars if they're rare enough. And I mean, Americans, there are loads of people in the US who've been collecting these for hundreds of, well, 100 years, or maybe a little bit less than that. So it's quite a thing. That's a whole separate collection. Listen, I'm afraid that's all we got time for this morning, but this is an incredible collection. And I don't know, I don't know that we've had anyone who does the sports collecting on, so really happy it could be you, and that you could share with us some of these absolutely incredible memories. I mean, you with Pele, you know, you with Lewis Gordon Pugh. I mean, these are really amazing things. These are great memories. So good of you to share them with us. And thank you, Wayne. Good to see you, man.
Thank you, guys. Good to see you, too. And keep smiling.
Always. Yes. Thank you, Wayne. what an awesome guy. What an awesome collection. I just love this.
That's on another level. That's certainly not what you've got in your LARPA that's covered in Daddy Long Legs, you know?
I love it. Collectomania is brought to you by the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. You can check them out at scoinshop.com. That's coinshop with an S in the front, .com. And if you're a collector of interesting or unusual things, or you know someone who is, get in touch with us. We want to hear from you. contact@cliffcentral.com. That's how we get to hear from interesting people like Wayne, and we want to hear from you if you've got a collection too. Let us know. We're very, very keen. cliffcentral.com.